This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look.
But can this kind of thing get in the way of a president trying to get something as complicated as Obamacare, or in this case, the replacement of Obamacare through Congress?
The whole thing is a distraction inside the West Wing, and you see mainly a distraction by his people who are trying to, you know, cover up without contradicting their boss. There's never been a shred of evidence. It's a baseless charge that, in fact, there was spying on the Trump Tower. And why we're devoting any attention to it on just, you know, I can make up something tomorrow. Chris Wallace, what did you invest? You know, it's ridiculous with no evidence.
Let me ask you a question. Would you also say it's baseless, this charge that there was collusion, or at least that we have no evidence?
Wait a second. We know about Russian hacking, and we don't know the extent of it. And until we get the extent of it, there's actually some evidence that there is hacking going on.
That's not my question, sir.
And that is the important issue.
No, it isn't. My question is, because we have known that for months now, the continuing mystery is, did the Trump campaign collude with the Russians? We don't have any evidence of that.
I don't think that's the only question. The question is whether the Russians influenced our election, and that is a very serious charge that we have not gotten to the base of it. And that I do think is worth looking at, because we know they have
backed various issues. Do we have any evidence of collusion? Yes or no?
We don't at the moment.
Okay.
But we have reason to suspect it.
I'll tell you, I think Chris Wallace had a lot of fun, and maybe after that show, he had to have gone straight to the bar. Because I don't know if you saw that or not on Chris Wallace's Sunday morning show on Fox. Of course, this is Dr. Zeke Emanuel. And can you imagine what it must be like around Thanksgiving dinner with Zeke and Rahm Emanuel? I mean, this progressive thought here, you try to follow them, and they bruise your brain, Scott. Because their arguments are so one-sided, and it's like, don't you hear yourself? Because on one hand, you're willing to say there's no evidence, but yet on another hand, you're willing to say, oh, boy, there's plenty of evidence. And it's going, well, there's not a whole lot of difference between what Trump has said about wiretapping and what you're talking about in terms of Trump and Russia.
I like that there was no correlation for him between those. Like, he saw no correlation between that.
Yeah.
Like, he just, no, wait, hold on, no. You know?
And then it was absolutely crazy-making. He causes you to kind of want to yell at your TV as he's talking about Obamacare and trying to talk about how great it is still. And the thing is falling flat on its face, but he insists with passion and vigor that, people have got it wrong and that, there's evidence, again, there's that evidence that it's just doing wonderful. And, of course, Zeke Emanuel was known to be one of the architects of the program. So I appreciate that he wants to, go down fighting on this thing. But I don't see the evidence there, Scott. I mean, if anything, I see the evidence of just the opposite, that it looks like a duck and walks like a duck and talks like a duck, and that, Obamacare is falling apart. It is unwinding on its face. And then, you want to talk about, and we'll continue this conversation, so I'm curious to get your input on this as well, ladies and gentlemen. And, in fact, we're going to open up the phone lines. You can give us a call, 877-317-6432. Had some interesting tweets last night, too. And, Facebook responses on this issue of, the wiretapping and about this healthcare program that we're talking about. And I know that, Americans being the way we are, we want everything settled, but we also like to talk about it. And especially we didn't get this opportunity with Obamacare. It was just thrust on us. We were warned about it. And here it is, the nightmare that we were warned about are at our doorstep. They are coming home to roost, as Jeremiah Wright would say. And they're all over our pumpkin heads. But yet there are some people, I'm amazed at how many people still think that Obamacare is viable when it is falling apart. It's like, wait, what are you buying into? Maybe what they're buying into is what Zeke Emanuel is, I believe, irresponsibly trying to convince them of, that his, his signature program, that the President Obama's legacy program is falling flat on its face. It's unwinding. It's in ICU. We've got crash carts coming in trying to save it.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
It remains our mission. We've got to get this country back on track and be proficient once again. I mean, this is, I believe, the benefit that we have of, you know, having a true CEO in the Oval Office. And this is one thing. Democrats are hard-pressed to even complain too much about. And they want to argue whether the sky is blue enough, or maybe it's even blue or whatever color. It just seems to be, just for argument's sake. But they're hard-pressed to deny that what Donald Trump is doing in the Oval Office is what most of us thought that he would do, and that is upend the status quo, bring into question some of these things. If you watched Paul Ryan last night with Mike Wallace, or Chris Wallace, rather. I brought Mike back. Sorry about that. But Chris Wallace, he was animated. He was very excited about what was going on in this government, that they're able to get things moving. Now, he was also being realistic and saying, hey, this is the way legislation works. I mean, think about what happened with Obamacare, all the wheeling and dealing and backdoor deals and, you know, hey, quid pro quos and buying of votes and all this sort of thing in order to shove, you know, the supposed Affordable Care Act down our proverbial throats. And here it is, you know, the Republicans are doing it in such a way, I think, being very open about it. But it's almost like, as Jeff Nicholson said, you can't handle the truth. Some of this stuff is burdensome. But this is the way legislation works, the way it's hammered out, the way the Founding Fathers expected it to work out all along, that there is contention, because that's what happens. When you have these things where there is contention, then we get a better program, which seems to be the case. And what Paul Ryan was suggesting last night. Now, the other thing he talked about at length, and we got a soundbite here, Scott, I want to play that in just a second, was about the scoring, the CBO scoring. And, think about it. Well, listen to what he says, and then we'll comment when we come back here, okay? All right.
Because the Congressional Budget Office, I don't have to tell you, came out this week with a pretty dramatic forecast, and they said that 24 million fewer Americans will have health insurance in 10 years under your plan. You said that part of that is that this is what freedom looks like. Here you are.
This isn't a government mandate. This is not the government makes you buy what we say you should buy, and therefore the government thinks you're all going to buy it.
But, sir, is the major decrease in the number of people, according to the CBO, who will have health insurance, is it freedom, or is it that some people will no longer be able to afford health insurance under your plan? I want to show a specific case that the CBO put up. Look at these numbers. In 10 years, the CBO said, a 64-year-old with an income of $26,500 will pay $1,700 out of pocket under Obamacare for health insurance. Under your plan, the CBO says, that same person will have to pay $14,600 because insurance companies can charge more and the tax credit that you're going to offer is smaller than the subsidy that Obamacare will offer. So what they're saying is this isn't freedom. This isn't people voluntarily deciding not to have health insurance. It's that your plan makes it unaffordable for people.
So there's three things I would say. Number one, what they basically say is people, Obamacare is not going to last. There's no way Obamacare could stick another 2 or 3 years, let alone 10 years. And so they're comparing an Obamacare plan that's mythical, that won't exist in 10 years. Then they're saying, well, if people are going to buy what Obamacare is going to make them buy, then they won't be able to afford it. Here's the point. We believe that we do need to add some additional assistance to people in those older cohorts. But the apples to oranges comparison that's happening here is we're not going to make people buy something that's so expensive that they can't afford, that the market's not going to offer. And so where I dispute that comparison is it suggests that we're going to have the same kinds of plans being offered in 10 years that Obamacare would otherwise offer.
But, sir, I mean,
collapsing.
If I may.
No, but just
I want to get to two points because
no,
under Obamacare.
The older person, Chris, just real quick.
Go ahead.
Now, let me just
say, the older person,
the person in their 50s and 60s, the person in their 50s and 60s does have additional health care costs than, say, a person in their 20s and 30s. The tax credit adjusts for that, but you're right in saying, and we agree, we believe we should have even more assistance, and that's one of the things we're looking at for that person in their 50s and 60s, because they experience higher health care costs.
So you're going to change
the critical
plan as it was written, and the CBO analyzed it.
That is among the things we're looking at doing, yes. And the point I would say is we're going to let people buy what they want to buy. We're going to have more plans being offered, more choice and competition. And this is before Tom Price does anything to deregulate the marketplace, to bring more competition and lower prices, which the CBO could not and did not analyze. So the CBO looked at a little piece of the issue when we know that the Secretary of HHS will help bring market freedom and regulatory relief to the health insurance markets to dramatically lower the price of plans for those 50 and 60-year-olds. But even with that, we think that we should be offering even more assistance than what the bill currently does.
Okay.
That's the point I'm trying to make.
No, I understand then.
Thanks for indulging.
Let me turn in the time we have left, sir.
Okay. I don't know if you caught all that, but basically the bottom line on this is that, you know, here are the CBO scores, you know, an incomplete bill. How can they do that? I mean, it gives the American people and those who are against Trump anyway, and not to mention those of us that are wondering, okay, what about this health care program? I know, does it fly? Is it going to do what it is that they've intended to do? And supposedly the CBO is supposed to be, impartial in its assessment. And a little bit later on in this morning show, we're going to talk about how many times the CBO has got it wrong. And, of course, they'll come back and say, hey, we didn't have all the facts. How would you expect us to get it wrong? Well, exactly. Why would you score something if you don't have all the facts? I mean, you're taking a third of what you know, and that's being generous, and you're placing an assessment on it. Of course, the Democrats are going crazy, Nancy Pelosi, instead of coming alongside and offering suggestions. I mean, look it, they're the ones that messed this thing up in the first place. So why don't they come in and say, you know, hey, look at this, what we learned. These are the mistakes that we made. We activate us. Let's get involved here. Let's have a discussion about this so that we can, you know, for the sake of the people, of the American people, the people that we're here to serve, that we can, you know, make up for it and not throw the baby out with bathwater. But let's look at what we learned in the last 7 years in processing this whole deal. This is why I've maintained, I mean, first of all, you got to start with the premise. You know, what is the objective here in delivering world-class health care to the American people? And I've been saying this, and, you know, some of you responded, and, you know, I want to get your take on this. You know, the president says it's going to be a terrific plan. Okay, what does terrific mean? You know, what do you think terrific means? You know, part of my definition is terrific is that it's so terrific that Congress lets go of their special health care plan and they get on board with this health care plan that they're legislating. that they're putting together. What do you think about that? You know, I think that would go a long way in terms of, you know, their commitment to serving the people and what their objective is, what they're looking at. But they're looking at something different than what they themselves are going to be under. I think then you end up getting Obamacare Lite and some of these other things that Rand Paul is talking about. We've got more coming up. Stay with us, America. It's 15 after the top of the hour.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything, your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-945-1063. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-945-1063. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-945-1063. That's 1-800-945-1063.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
Lifetime Graze 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
Letting you know about it before the defecation hits the oscillation. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day, 3 hours, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. All right, so let me know your thoughts, okay? Well, what are you thinking about this healthcare deal and what, President Trump has said? You know, he talks about it being terrific. I'm saying, hey, let it be so terrific that, everybody in the government, you know, comes under the very legislation they're creating. Now let's see what kind of world-class healthcare program that we get. I mean, it galls me. It absolutely galls me that they're on a different planet. I mean, what? Like, they're so much more special? I mean, look, it's one thing to be a servant of the people. I mean, that's what the whole idea, and this is what the Founding Fathers intended from the very beginning, is that they're to serve the people, not to be served by the people. It's a government of, for, and by we the people. See, we're off base here. I mean, the whole proposition and the objective on this is off base, Scott. I mean, when you're thinking about yourself and you go, oh, hey, I don't have to worry about it. But now, if you had to worry about the legislation, if you're going to say, hey, I'm going to come, do you imagine what America would do if Donald Trump and Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell all, you know, came together and said, hey, you know, I'll tell you what, we have so much confidence in this health care program, and we're so committed to get it right. And we know that it's going to be a process. And this is, you know, part of the problem that we have here in America. We're so doggone impatient, you know. And, yes, legislating, as Paul Ryan stated, gets a little heady at times. And, you know, and it's nuanced. And, look, that's not our job. That's why we elect them, is so that they can deal with the nuance of it. But, you know, they've rolled back the curtain, thank God. And this is what transparency looks like, President Obama. Okay, not happening in the dark room where you're shoving it down people's throats, making all these backdoor agreements in order to buy votes at the people's expense.
Pass this it, is, and then we can find out what's in it.
Yeah, and all that silliness. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, this, her statement, Nancy Pelosi's statement to that point, is going to echo through the ages. And, you know, you imagine generations to come are going to go back and hear that and think, what was going on with these people? You know, that you would have somebody at this level of government. I mean, it's one thing if you have, you know, somebody with a, you know, an everyday podcast or, you know, wanting to be relevant, making those kind of statements. But when you have the leader of the House making that statement, it's like, did she just say that? I mean, it's incredulous, right?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And there's actually something that it's I don't think I need them to. It'd be nice if they did come underneath their own, you know, their own health care plan that they're making. But I actually wish that the Democrats would actually work on this, because they know that this is wrong. You know,
yeah, exactly.
This is wrong. But if all you're doing is telling me what isn't working, but
yes,
you're not trying to fix it, that's a problem.
Yeah.
What are you bringing
to the table by way of solutions to your point, right?
Yeah. I just wish that if they have answers, why aren't they trying to make it better?
Mm-hmm.
And until they start doing that, both parties start working together, we're never going to be able to get back together to be on that same team.
Exactly. Well, everything's about who's going to get the credit, who's going to get the White House, this sort of thing. So, well, we can't help them because then they'll get reelected. We'll lose more seats, as opposed to, you know, being about the people's business. I mean, you have caused the people to suffer immensely because of this kind of ego and this kind of politicking. I mean, we're looking at $20 trillion in debt. Our national security is compromised to the point that you get, you know, millions of votes vacated, Scott. Millions of votes are vacated all because of one activist judge in Hawaii who the attorney general out there says, hey, if it had been anybody other than Trump, then, yeah, it wouldn't be a problem. But because it is Trump.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, too. That whole thing is just unbelievable, especially since I think I read somewhere that Hawaii doesn't have a single refugee from...
Well, that's a suggestion, is maybe they should be, we should transport a bunch of refugees to Hawaii. Maybe they would feel a little bit different, you know, as to what's going on and have their eyes wide open. I mean, if you've been protected and you're not dealing with the reality of refugees, I mean, Luke Adler, who's been on with us several times, former U.S. Marshal, has told us, Scott, this has been a problem. Every time refugees come in, you know, it creates all kinds of problems. And when I say problems, people are dying literally, okay? There's lots of arrests that are taking place. And when lots of arrests take place, then we have U.S. Marshals all of a sudden, you know, redirecting their efforts and resources to something that's been self-inflicted. This is something our own government does, and somehow we think that it's okay. But see, Donald Trump, being the businessman, says, hey, is this in the best interest? Is this the best use of the people's money? I mean, just like the budget that everybody is just, you know, they're going crazy about. Well, look, at some point, you needed to look at the budget, and some of the decisions need to be made about it, is that, does it really carry the day? Can the states handle some of this? Or can private enterprise? If you're so interested in public radio, well, can the people who want public radio, can they support it? I mean, there are many other Christian stations around this country that are self-supported by the people who believe in the mission and in what they're doing. So why not public radio? Why is it that we need to continue to put the people's money there, especially when, you know, you might even question, does it really represent the majority of the people's, you know, concern?
Yeah. Well, I've always been a firm believer that if you have a kid that watches a lot of Sesame Street and stuff like that, you're probably gonna donate money to PBS.
Oh, I would have done it. You know, for public broadcasting, some of the things that they did, I'd have been, you know, and did it in the past, and would have, you know, done it. Probably would even do it again, you know, for the sake of our grandchildren, you know. And there would be others that would do the same thing. But you know, if you don't test the market, you know, kind of like what's happening, you know, with Trump going overseas and talking to NATO, you just ask the question. They go, well, you didn't ask. You know,
well,
like,
at some
well,
point we have to hold them to the same standard that we get held to in our daily lives.
Exactly.
If I don't make enough money and I keep running into a deficit, I might have to get rid of cable. I might have to cut cable in order to make my ends meet. Mm-hmm. And when we're $20 trillion in debt, we have to make cuts. We can go back to funding it when we get back to that point, but we have to get to that point first.
Exactly.
And you have to make cuts, you know. Do I want to eat steak every day? Definitely. I'd love to eat steak every day. I can't afford it.
Well, remind me later on. I'll tell you the story about eating steak every day. In fact, over the weekend, had a chance to go and visit with my nephew, who is in training. Some additional training at Camp Pendleton. And I got to tell you, it was really neat, Scott, you know, going back to, you know, for me, because that's where I was at. I did Good Morning Camp Pendleton, went to the base headquarters there. And it was deja vu. And I was thinking, you know, in my own memories, I think it was about 25, 30 years. Actually, it's over 40 years since I'd been there. So much about the base has changed. It is quite a massive enterprise. It was when I was there anyway, but it was just, it was neat. You know, the memories were flowing, you know, going through the base and being around, you know, being around the Marines. Well, I'll tell you, our country, you know, it just makes you proud to see these young men and women, how they're, you know, moving up through the ranks, how they're eager to defend this country. I'll tell you, you just go through and your heart swells, you know, with appreciation that we've got, you know, these kind of future leaders involved in our military. It was really, really sweet. But I'll tell you the story about having steak, because you know, when you go to work, I mean, and you're in the military, I took a big cut in pay. Let me tell you, from where I was working in civilian life at a radio station in Bakersfield, and just to give you an idea, $200. It was actually $190 a month is what I got. $90 a month was my rent for a condo in Oceanside. Thank you very much, the staff sergeant actually a gunny sergeant that had leased the property to me and my family. So anyway, good memories, good time there at Camp Pendleton. It was good to be back. This is Bill Martinez. We've got more. The conversation continues. We're going to talk about the CBO with John Hart right after this.
This report is brought to you by Sodexo. Sodexo's annual Workplace Trends Report has been a reliable source for spotting crucial changes in the business world for more than 5 years. In 2017, the findings reveal a game-changing focus on individuality, connectivity, and adaptability in the workplace. Based on original research and interviews with more than 50 subject matter experts, the report features 10 important trends for business leaders to account for. Highlights include an increased appreciation of the new millennial generation of workers and how factors like workplace conditions and techno-literacy are key to helping businesses thrive in this new generation. Mark Bickford, CEO of Sodexo Corporate Services.
The political and economic landscape of our country is going through a period of significant change and uncertainty this year, leaving a challenge for businesses to stay on top of trends in their workforce. Sodexo's 2017 Global Workplace Trends Report will help businesses navigate 10 of the most pressing issues impacting the workplace and the workforce in the months to come.
For more findings and trends, visit SodexoInsights.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez live.
It wasn't me. I almost wish I would have said that. It's a great line, but you know, because sometimes you get to that point where you figure out, okay, what hill is it going to take? Where do you need to take your stand? And you've heard me say this, and you might even hear it more, because I think we're getting to that point in our government where our leaders need to figure out if they're willing to fall on their sword. Do they really believe enough in what they say they believe in, that they're willing to go to the very end and even, even forego their personal interests and, I guess maybe ambition to make a career out of politics, which is a whole nother discussion altogether. Welcome back, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. John Hart with us, editor-in-chief of the conservative political website, Opportunity Lives. John, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
I'm great, Bill. It's good to be on again.
Hey, let's talk CBO here. The CBO in a way has a plausible out. They did a comparative of, of what the American Health Care Act is presenting right now. And I think it's a bit irresponsible, John, from my perspective, because it's not fully developed. I mean, this is still very dynamic, and you're trying to take a snapshot of legislation that's in motion here. So right. Doesn't this contribute to the CBO really risking misrepresenting compromising their credibility to the American people, because they're saying, here's our assessment, and people, you know, the Democrats especially, are quoting what the CBO has determined, but there's no qualifier. Am I getting this wrong?
No, Bill, I think you're getting it right. You know, in CBO, as we saw with Obamacare, it operates on what I call the garbage in, garbage out principle, that if you give them an incomplete picture, they're going to give you an incomplete picture back. So CBO has a record, and here's the critical flaw. What they do is they underestimate the power of free markets, and they overestimate the power of government to control costs. So the best example was with Obamacare. The CBO confers almost mythical power on this idea of the individual mandate. Remember that Obamacare had where you had to go buy insurance?
Exactly.
They thought that would lead to this windfall in coverage. It would help people, et cetera, et cetera. They don't make value judgments like helping people, but that's how it was interpreted. But they were off by 120%. So in other words, CBO thought Obamacare would cover 22 million people on the exchanges, and instead only 10 million were covered. And the reason they got that wrong, again, is because they overestimated government's power to fix markets. And the House bill is built on the opposite premise. The House, you know, and it's an imperfect bill. It's the first step in a long process. There's a lot of complicated reasons why they have to start with reconciliation. I just did an op-ed with a guy named Dave Hoppe, who was Paul Ryan's chief of staff. It's in Real Clear Politics yesterday,
right.
You know, describing why we have to take this limited step first. And that's all CBO scored, is this limited first step. There's a lot more that the House and the Senate want to do to fix our healthcare system.
Well, John, you know, you listen to Paul Ryan, and he's very animated about the process. And then you hear the opposite, of course, from the Democrats that are painting a dire picture that this thing is unraveling. And I hear them, and I'm going, wait a minute. You gave us a program that's in intensive care right now. I mean,
right.
it's really virtually on life support, and you have the audacity to, you know, poke holes into this instead of taking the experience that you went through. But again, this is politics, and it's unfortunate because we, the people, have been suffering with Obamacare for the last 7 years. Now, I understand there's some people that it's worked out fine for them, especially that lady in the town hall that says, look, I'm paying a dollar for Obamacare, so don't you dare take that away from me. Well,
sure.
Hey, if I had that, I wouldn't want to lose that either, right?
Yeah, and the thing to keep in mind is Obamacare on the whole, yeah, you're going to find individual cases like that, but it's hurting more people than it's helping. You know, it kicked 5 million people off of their insurance. I was one of those families. We had to give up our pediatrician because we had to go to a different, and my wife was not happy about that. And a lot of people have far worse stories than we do.
Right.
But what the House is trying to do, it's almost like the best analogy I've heard is it's a bridge that's collapsing.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to protect people who are on the bridge, bring them to safety, and at the same time, you have to build another bridge, a new bridge, that will provide a far more compassionate, far more efficient system. And that's what this House bill does. It's the scaffolding. It's the outline of that bridge, with enough stability there to get people across it. And that's why Paul Ryan is so animated. Is, you know, look, he's been working on this for 20 years. A lot of people who are conservatives have been beating the drum of patient-centered care. And the core idea behind it is this notion that if you want to provide care for everybody, you have to focus on you, the individual.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new coalition that's formed around that idea called the One Nation Health Coalition. OL is a part of that. There's a big group of conservative groups that are pushing this narrative that we have a more compassionate, more effective way to deliver care for more people by using the only principles that have ever allocated scarce resources effectively and compassionately. And that's the free enterprise system. You know,
exactly.
We trust markets in every area of our society, but healthcare and education. So it's no secret those two areas tend to be the least efficient, most expensive.
Mm-hmm. John, why is the government so afraid of the free enterprise system? We have empirical evidence from the start of this great country of ours with free markets and the free enterprise system working time and time again, and somehow there is this push back. You know, from government that says we can do it better, and
right.
There's no evidence of that.
That's exactly right, Bill. It's a very simple answer. The reason is politicians want the political credit for, quote, helping people. So when Democrats, you know, and back on your other point, you know, Democrats have been criticizing Republicans for not having a plan for the past 10 years, which is false.
Mm-hmm.
We've had many plans. But the question we should be asking is, where is their plan? Where is their plan to fix the problem they created?
Right.
And again, the reason they don't have a fix is that what they've tried, it goes to your point about why do we trust the government? It's because politicians wants a credit for, quote, helping people. When if you think about a program like Medicaid, for example, one of the best reforms in the House bill is that it shifts authority for Medicaid to the state. So let the states innovate, let the states compete, let them develop their own plans to provide insurance for people who have pre-existing conditions. And that's a far more effective way than having the Secretary of HHS micromanage it. Mm-hmm. And we have, as a new HHS Secretary, Tom Price, who's a doctor. My old boss, Tom Coburn, was a doctor. They worked together on health reform. If you have a politician who wants to give credit to somebody else, that's the person you should trust.
Right.
And that is an animating principle of the House bill, is that they want to give authority back to you, back to the states, back to communities.
Well, I got to tell you, I think part of what's animating Paul Ryan is that he's excited to be working with Donald Trump because he knows, I mean, he's like you say, for 20 years, he's gone through a couple of administrations, mm-hmm. and he sees working with a businessman-oriented president is pretty right. exciting. I mean, they're able to, look at some, greater possibilities that heretofore, because it's so mired in politics, they couldn't get there. So there's tremendous potential here to really get this right and to serve a lot of people and do just the opposite that, some of the scaremongers are trying to tell us out there.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Yeah, look, and during the campaign, look, I was a skeptic. A lot of people were skeptical of Donald Trump's ability to lead and be presidential. But he has done a phenomenal job on the health care issue.
Mm-hmm.
In many ways, all of the other things they've done are like preseason games. We're in the middle of spring training now.
Right.
But the healthcare fight, I mean, that's serious, serious business. And he is doing an exemplary job of bringing people together, truly listening to people's concerns. There are legitimate concerns from people on the right. Mm-hmm. Some of them are not legitimate, but many are. He's working with them. He's trying to improve the bill. He's cracking the whip, but not being too aggressive about it.
Right.
So everyone, he is leading as the president everyone hoped he would be, whether they supported him or not. He deserves a lot of credit for bringing us to the point where it looks like the House will hopefully pass this bill this week.
Well, one of the refreshing differences between what Donald Trump is doing as president of this administration, if you remember, about this point with Obamacare, there were all kinds of crazy deals, exemptions that were being passed down the transom, and you kept seeing, you kept thinking as a citizen that we're getting worked here.
You got it. No, it's the difference between there isn't going to be Trump care, there's going to be you care. It's going to be
exactly
for you.
Well, John Hart, editor-in-chief of the conservative political website Opportunity Lives. John, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You bet, Bill.
You got it. 18 before the top of the hour right now.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself, too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Hello, I'm Dr. Chirakuri, a board-certified ear, nose, and throat physician. Every day, I see many patients whose lives would be enriched by hearing aids, but who simply cannot afford the thousands of dollars needed to pay for them. I made it my mission to find a way to manufacture medical-grade, affordable hearing aids. Working with other doctors and audiologists, I developed the MD Hearing Aid Air, which costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids.
See how the MD Hearing Aid Air can help you once again enjoy conversations, even in noisy places. Call 1-800-416-1526 to speak with one of their trained specialists.
Reconnect with your life with MD Hearing Aids affordable quality hearing solutions at a fraction of the cost of custom hearing aids. Right now, take advantage of their exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-416-1526. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-416-1526.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Did you know there's a new group of water contaminants with unknown health effects? These emerging contaminants lurking in your water may include prescription, over-the-counter drugs, and new types of herbicides and pesticides. ProPure's improved Pro-1 G2.0 filter meets NSF 401 standards to help reduce these emerging contaminants. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with the America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. We'll remind you, for more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. Get involved in the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. That's the email. Or you can tweet us back, BMartinezLive. Just about 14 before the top of the hour. I want to talk about your kids for a moment, and I understand. I mean, I got to tell you, one of the top conversations outside of politics that I have today with our audience and our family of listeners, it has to do with our kids, that many parents are very concerned, you know, looking at the horizon, the cultural horizon that our kids are being raised in. They hear about, you know, what's going on with the peer pressure, campus life, and that sort of thing. And I don't blame them. I mean, we have a brand new grandson, just about 7 months old, and they're based out of Maui. They're visiting us. We've all come together here in California, kind of a halfway point, to meet up with them. So we've been hugging a lot of necks here the last couple of days, you know, with family and that. But I guess this is something that I hear quite a bit, is the growing concern that parents are having about their children. Here with us right now is Dave Thomas. He's a counselor, frequent guest on national TV and radio, including Moody Midday Connection and a chat with Priscilla, and has a column in Parent Life. He and his wife Connie have a daughter and twin sons, and they live in Nashville, Tennessee. So he himself knows from whence we are talking and are concerned. Dave Thomas, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm good, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Hey, good to have you here. You know, the question, and you summed it up with your book, and that is, are my kids on track? 12 emotional, social, spiritual milestones that your child needs to reach. So the question, are my kids on track? And here are some landmarks, some bookmarks that we need to check out to measure whether or not our kids are on track or not.
And it really did, Bill, for us feel important to think about how could we better define, how could we better clarify these emotional, social, and spiritual milestones? Because in these different contexts where our kids live, we have some well-defined benchmarks to measure their physical development. We have some really strong resources and tools to measure their cognitive development once they get into the school setting, but there's really not a context where we can track with our kids' emotional, social, and spiritual development. And our argument really is that those are three of the most important threads, not that the other two aren't important, but three of the most important that are going to inform who they become as husbands and wives themselves, as parents themselves, as friends, as coworkers. And so really wanting to take a look at what could we do to better understand the growth of their heart.
Well, I know that you and Sissy and Melissa, you know, came together. This is kind of the holy trinity of counselors here, so to speak, you know, coming together to take a look at some of these solutions. And, you know, it's easy, David, I got to think, in raising your kids when, you know, you go through the peer pressure and the daily life of school and, you know, the things that our kids deal with anyway. And it's easy to kind of lose sight of these key issues, as you say, the emotional, social, and spiritual milestones, because when the kid is more worried about the peer pressure and Facebook and some of these other things that enter into our lives, that in some respects is a bunch of noise. And it's easy for parents to gravitate into that because as far as the kids are concerned, those are the most important things at the moment, not the emotional, social, and spiritual milestones.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And I think for parents, none of us are really surprised that we just continue to get our hands on new data. And I think the data is just continuing to confirm what we have long known. But it's kind of right there in our face at this point that as our kids navigate those different moments in life that you described, the things that they need the most, you know, what we are now understanding, I think about some of the newest data out of Stanford, what we're now understanding is what determines success. Not just vocational success, but relational success for kids as they navigate their way through life and into adulthood is, you know, this set of what we call, and we talk about in the book, non-cognitive skills. You know, that it's not IQ scores. It's not ACT and SAT scores. It's not did they play enough travel sports, but it's did they develop grit? Did they develop resilience? Do they have empathy? Like these skills that are foundational to kids being successful in those moments you described and certainly well into adulthood. And that's, again, where we wanted to not just talk about, yes, we all agree those are important things for kids to have, but how can we develop those muscles in our kids? And we talk about that, for example, with empathy. We talk about how empathy is like a muscle, and for some kids, that muscle just, they come out of the womb, and it seems like as they grow and develop, that muscle is more well-developed already. For other kids, not so much, but how can we flex that muscle over time? What are practical things that we can be doing so that we can, as best as possible, prepare our kids to navigate all those moments as they grow forward as kids, as adolescents, and well into adulthood?
Well, David, that question, are my kids on track? Well, that is a scary question for parents. Sometimes they don't want to know if their kids are on track. But if they don't have the answer, boy, they're going to have a high-maintenance proposition down the road, aren't they?
You're absolutely right. Well, and I think one of the scarier things, and we'll just be real honest on the front side, is we talk in the introduction of the book. And again, this is one of those things that I think we all know, but it's hard to come face-to-face with it. We can only take our kids as far as we've gone ourselves. Like, we only have as much to offer as we have. And so one of the scarier things I think for parents to see in this book is not only evidence of what you just described, and maybe their kids aren't progressing toward these milestones, but evidence of where they may have gotten stuck somewhere along the way in their own development. And therefore, they don't have some of the tools and resources. We talk so much about throughout the book about how kids learn more from observation than information. They learn more from watching us than hearing from us. So if we haven't developed, if we haven't progressed towards some of these milestones, our kids don't have access to that ability to learn by watching us.
Exactly.
And so what we do even in the book is talk about what does it look like to play catch up? If you didn't hit some of these milestones yourself, this content could be as much for you with where you are in that moment as a parent as what you're offering to your child.
Okay. In the interest of time here, I want to, you know, hit the highlights of the 12. I mean, when we talk about 12, and I mean, we could spend a lot of time on this, and I appreciate, David, what you guys have done in pulling this together, because this is hugely significant. Ladies and gentlemen, you want, I mean, I don't know a parent that doesn't want their kid to be successful, and especially in light of all the counter pressure that's going on. You know, parents are freaking out right now, David, is what I'm seeing is that they're going, wait a minute, my kid spends more time in video games and other distractions and amusements than they are real life. I mean, you know, we come to dinner and, you know, I just want to take a stand and say enough of this electronics. We're going to set it aside. Some families have said when you come in the door, you put your cell phones in the basket. We're all going to sit around and for goodness sakes, we're going to do something that's rather not. We're going to communicate.
Yes, and that is a battle worth choosing. And even that practice, I love that you highlighted that practice. That's the kind of thing that we wanted to coach parents through, like some of the basics. And one of the things that was of great importance to us, and I want parents to hear this, is, you know, we're not about creating this really lengthy, hard to implement to-do list so that we can help the kids we love progress toward these milestones. We are all about how can we fold this into the daily rhythm of what you're already doing. The example you just shared, having meals together, we give some really practical, easy, user-friendly ideas of what could you be doing as you're eating dinner together, because it's something every family's doing. What could you be doing in that time to flex those muscles? And so basically what we did was every chapter, we took a milestone, we broke it down. Here's what it looks like for boys to develop. Here's what it looks like for girls. So it's gender specific. We talk about what are the stumbling blocks, boys face, girls face, and then what are the building blocks? And then we go one step further. And at the end of every chapter, we've got 10 practical, you can do this every single day in your household, ideas for parents of here's what it looks like to help kids progress toward these milestones.
Yeah, I mean, look at, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we're seeing the problem. We're seeing the fruit of all this distraction that our society and culture has been giving us. The choice is, are we going to do something about it? You know, it may not be perfect. This is a process. David, I'm sure as you counsel others, you know, say, hey, I'm picking up this book. I love these ideas. But like anything, it is a process that takes some time and refinement. And chances are, oh, yes, go figure, that some of the ideas that David and Sissy and Melissa have laid out for you, you're going to advance because it's personalized. And, you know, I'm sure that David would love to hear from you and how you've expanded on their suggestions and their solutions, right?
We would. And that's a part of, when you mentioned our work together, that's a part of what felt so important in this book, too, was we have, between the three of us, been counseling for a combined over 70 years. So it's not just ideas that we wonder if they would work. These are practical things. We're sitting with parents every day in our offices. Mm-hmm. All three of us still practicing with regularity, and we're recommending these things and hearing families come back and talk about what it looked like when they implemented them. Mm-hmm. And that ability to tweak those things that aren't working. So it really is about a lot of experience more than it is about ideas.
How rewarding for you guys, you know, to see these ideas come together. I mean, as you say, through all these practical years of counseling, and now other people are getting it and advancing the proposition. This has to be rewarding for you.
It is truly rewarding work. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to do it.
Well, David, we're grateful to have you here on Bill Martinez Live. The big takeaway, what do you want them to take away from your book, Are My Kids on Track?
I think more than anything, we want parents to walk away with a sense of partnership. That's, again, a part of why we wanted to feel so user-friendly. Like, we're in this with you. We're in this with you as counselors working with kids every day. We're in this with you as parents. We're in this journey with you, and we want to make this as user-friendly as possible.
Well, great job. Outstanding, David Thomas. Appreciate what you and Sissy and Melissa have developed here for our behalf. Great solutions here, ladies and gentlemen. Are My Kids on Track? The book is available at all the usual places, and it'll be linked on our website as well. I'm Bill Martinez. A couple of minutes before the top of the hour. Stay with us. We've got more coming up.
Hi, my name is John Kunkel. I'm 63 years of age. I watched several YouTube videos of Stephen Huers and learned what supplements might help me with energy and weight loss. I've now been on the Andreas Black Cumin Seed Oil, Synergy One, and 600 products from Synergistic Nutrition for several weeks now. I've lost 10 pounds. My joint pain has been reduced significantly. I have a lot of energy that I've never had before. My cravings for sweets are gone, and I'm rarely hungry. Even my cravings for foods like hamburgers and heavy carbohydrate meals are now gone. This is the only thing that's worked for me. I was seriously considering bariatric surgery surgery, but that's out the window now. Thank you so much, Synergistic Nutrition.
With Synergistic Nutrition, we help you take the guesswork out of supplementation and help you hit the bullseye of success. I encourage you to get specific about your health needs, because when you do, your body will celebrate with energy and well-being. Call Synergistic Nutrition today at 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Hi, this